Hello everyone, welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Today, we speak with Sri Venkatesh, founding partner at SKB Law Offices on the Uniform Civil Code Bill passed by the Uttarakhand State Assembly last week. The bill was passed on the 7th of February and Uttarakhand has become the first state in India to pass such a bill. This bill proposes to bring in a uniform law on matters related to succession, marriage and divorce, among others, for people residing in the state. Currently, these matters are dealt with by different laws for different religious communities. The Uniform Civil Code Bill will come into force in Uttarakhand once it receives the governor's assent. Hi, Venkatesh. Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of Simply Save.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Great. So Venkatesh, can you explain to us what are some of the key changes that the Uniform Civil Code Bill that the Uttarakhand Assembly just passed has brought in with regard to succession? So essentially, is it very different from the Hindu Succession Act? Or if you talk about, some of the other religious communities like the Muslims and the Parsis, is it broadly in line with what their existing laws say on succession, or is it very different?
Okay, so let me start off by saying that the Hindu Succession Act, by its very name, applies to a particular community, which is not the case here. Here, the application of the UCC of Uttarakhand applies to all citizens of Uttarakhand, including its residents, which is again a defined concept. So it transcends beyond religion or communal background as it so happens in usual personal law. So that's the first big difference. Having said that, if you look at succession as a concept itself, there was an amendment in the Hindu Succession Act in 2005 by which daughters were given certain amount of, representation in the estate of the parent. But having said that, the laws were not equal in the real sense.
Okay.
There was a concept of personal property versus self-acquired property, and there was a concept of karta, etc. All of them sort of gave special privileges under the Hindu Succession Act. Now, this has completely been sort of streamlined into a succession device by which, simply by being a class one heir, irrespective of these of your gender or your community, you are entitled to a level of succession. That's the basic change, so to speak. So disqualifications have been streamlined, and of course, coparceny property is a concept which existed under Hindu personal law for centuries that has been done away with. So this is the broad change, if you ask me, in terms of succession law.
The concept of this coparcenary property that you brought up. So, I believe that now with the UCC bill, what's happened is that they are not differentiating between inherited property and ancestral property. How does that make a difference? I mean, who is it going to affect?
So it's going to affect basically, earlier what used to happen was that if whatever property you inherit as a coparcenar from your ancestors, you are to divide in a particular fashion to your class one heirs through an estate or through a will, or even if you die intestate. Whereas now the law is that there is no demarcation between coparcenary and self-acquired property. If you are the parent who has both kinds of properties in your name, all of it devolved in equal share if you die intestate. And of course, if you follow a will procedure, then you have to divide it in a particular fashion amongst your surviving heirs. So that distinction, that the special right of a coparceny property has really gone away. So it's all gets devolved into, so it's more modern, so to speak. Let's put it this way. That coparceny property as a concept had lost significance anyways in the last few decades, because we all live in cities where there's not much coparceny property to even anyways give down to your children. So that it's more modern in terms of its approach.
Got it. Then if we talk about, so we've spoken about Hindus and versus the Hindu Succession Act. Now, when we talk about Muslims and Parsis, is it possible to highlight that again, in terms of their personal laws versus now a uniform law, is there any major difference in terms of, how succession would happen?
So, I started off by saying that this Uniform Civil Code, which is born out of the Constitution itself, does not distinguish you on the basis of your religion. Therefore, for example, Hindu succession law does not apply to if this UCC applies. Similarly, Muslim Sharia personal law will not apply. As a consequence of this, polygamy perhaps goes out because there is a clear criteria here that you cannot get married if you already have a surviving wife under the UCC. That goes out. Succession also, daughters earlier in Sharia law, as I understand from certain customs, they don't have a right in the devolution of property from ancestors or even when the property is bequeathed to surviving heirs. All that has gone away now. So even Muslim Muslims have to apply to have to comply with Muslims who are living in Uttarakhand or are residents of Uttarakhand will have to sort of comply with this, and they can't choose their personal law over the UCC. The rights which are given to in UCC cannot be subverted by their personal law. Is really what's going to happen if the law takes shape into if the bill takes final shape into
right.
The law.
So broadly speaking, if one were to summarize, would it be okay to draw the conclusion that with the UCC bill, once it's, you know, gets the governor's assent, it's going to kind of bring in a slightly more equitable distribution of assets and properties
yes.
in terms of succession laws?
Modern and equitable distribution. Okay. Disqualifications, etc., which existed earlier, all of those have been done away with. The personal disqualification and personal laws, all of them different disqualifications, but they are more standardized, more I would say more capable for modern interpretation as opposed to what your historical law used to be. So that's the intent of this. So yes, you're right.
Then, you know, coming to the next point. So one is, of course, succession. The other major issue is, you know, marriages and divorce. If it's possible, if you could highlight, you know, four specific communities, does it make a major difference? Or even outside of, irrespective of what community you belong to, does the UCC bring in any changes in terms of marriages and divorce?
So there are, I think, three key changes I could think about. One of them, of course, is that, like I said, if you have a surviving wife, then you can't get married. That will have an impact on certain personal laws, as we spoke about
right.
earlier. That's one condition. So marriage itself, to get married, there is a qualification that you should not have this. That is something
right.
that comes into picture right in the beginning. Then, of course, you can get married in terms of your personal law. The ceremony of marriage is protected. So it's not that there is any special... you have to denounce your personal law ceremony also. No, that ceremony still belongs to you.
Right.
Then, of course, there's a registration requirement which was mandatory. It is mandatory in law in most states, but it has been made very, very standardized. So that procedure is very good. There is divorce is also governed by similar provisions of the Divorce Act, which already exists. What is new here, I would say, is
right.
Section 27. That you can also get divorced on mutual consent, which is what used to be done earlier in the garb of section, 14 divorce petition, that parties would enter into file a petition, but then have a settlement on the side and then seek a
right.
divorce decree. Here you can say so that there are irreconcilable differences, therefore you want to get divorced. That's a very modern concept, which has been sort of recognized in a statute.
Just to get more clarity on the thing where you talked about, you know, divorce with the mutual consent. So essentially, what is the difference you're saying?
So if you see, what they have done is they've introduced a section which says divorce by mutual consent. Now, what this is effectively means is that you can dissolve a marriage if husband and wife both agree after 1 year of being married that they don't wish to live together.
Sure.
This as a concept under Hindu divorce laws or, you know, other personal laws did not exist. There was a way to achieve this. Parties would achieve this by filing a regular divorce petition and then arriving at some settlement and saying, telling the court that you please grant us a divorce decree because we are not willing to live together. But statutorily, this was not recognized. So this is what I find something new, which has happened under Section 27 of the UCC.
Okay, understood. Got it. Then, you know, coming to live-in relationships, again, a very, you know, concept that's fairly common these days. That again, you know, how is the Uniform Civil Code very different from how the current legal situation is in terms of these relationships?
So, legally speaking, a female partner in a live-in relationship has protections against violence under the Domestic Violence Act. That has been, I mean, that's also happened through judicial pronouncements, but that exists. But
sure.
Having said that, there's no legal sanctity or legal recognition of a living relationship. That did not exist. So this is the first time in a civil court this has been recognized as a concept. So that's the big change in the first place. Of course, this involves this does not even apply to just simply the persons who are covered under the UCC. It also applies to those people who are living in Uttarakhand and are in a live-in relationship, they also need must get it registered. So that's the applicability part of this provision, which is unique. Having said that, of course, it's been recognized for the first time. There are provisions under which after a point in time, you can even seek maintenance if your partner were to desert you in a live-in relationship. This is also a concept which did not exist earlier. It only relatable to a marriage situation, which was not there in a live-in relationship.
Sure. So in that context, you know, now that they're giving legal recognition to live-in relationships, does it also mean that children born out of such a relationship, are they also getting some, you know, legal recognition?
Yes, correct. Section 379 of the code very clearly prescribes that a child born out of a living relationship shall be a legitimate child of the couple and therefore would be entitled to the devolution of estate and properties of the couple or of the parents as right. has been provided in the code. So therefore, yes, even children born out of a living relationship have been given a legitimate status, which was again not difficult.
Got it. Venkatesh, you know, do you think, are there any negatives in the UCC bill? Anything that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, so I think negative is really very subjective. So I'd not like to go there, but I'd like to point out there will be a very major challenge in sustaining UCC. And that will be from, of course, whoever is affected by UCC. See, what happens is UCC is something which is envisioned in our constitution, Article 44, which says that every state should endeavor to have a uniform civil code. That's the directive principle of state policy. These are the broad guidelines given to the state government for better administration. Juxtapose that to there is Article 25, which enables or entitles as a fundamental right, which entitles every individual to practice his freedom on its religion. So since UCC, of course, both are part of the constitution.
Right.
Now we have parliamentary laws which have been enacted for succession, for marriage, for divorce, for adoption, etc., etc. And then even for, let's say, criminal offenses. And then you have a state law on the issue of UCC. So these two are at loggerheads in certain areas. So of course, right. whenever this law is formally promulgated, it will have to sort of be tested in a court of law to see whether it can sustain if a challenge to this issue, to this effect is mounted, is what I find as a concern. But other than that, I think by and large, it is very standardized and very, they've taken steps to come up with a very modern way of having a civil code, which is something which has been missing in our country. So it's a very positive step in most aspects. So therefore, there's no negative concern, but this is a concern generally I have on the legality of UCC going forward.
Got it. Sure. Noted. And thanks, Venkatesh, for your time. And thanks for speaking to us today.
Thank you.
And with that, we wrap up this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do log into moneycontrol.com.